You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead at two Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gordon Brown, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman in the studio. It's Goodwood, Beverley and Yarmouth domestically. Some good racing over in Ireland as well for Irish Cambridgeshire Day at the Curragh. So we'll bring you plenty of that on Sunday. So do tune in. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good man. What have you been up to?
Final exams was all this week.
Yeah.
Last one was 6 o'clock on Friday, so I'm now, well, I'm no longer a law student. So
yeah.
I wait for my results and see if I can join the real world, I suppose.
Get a proper job.
But, Will Hill Towers for a little bit longer anyway, hopefully.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I'm off, gone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not really too much to talk about in terms of news.
Quite a week, isn't it, after the Ewell meeting? Obviously, the next real big target, I suppose, you could argue, would be the ARC, as in a big meeting, Champions weekend as well. But like I say, just a little bit of a lull after some really, really good racing at York last week. So like I say, there's not a lot of news in the industry at the moment.
Yeah. What do you make of the Irish champion? Do you think we'll get the match between Golden Horn and Glen Eagles finally?
No.
Good.
Ultimately, weather-wise, I think there's been a lot of rain in Ireland. It's still a fair way to go. And actually, generally, the Irish Champion Stakes is held on pretty quick ground, which you would hope would enable Glen Eagles to turn up. But the rain clouds seem to follow them around. And I'll say, probably they were glad they didn't run at York, as ultimately, the ground was a little bit dead, and it probably wouldn't have been ideal. John Gosden playing the ground for Golden Horn. I think, yes, it didn't help, but there's probably other factors as such that didn't help there. But it'll be interesting. Obviously, Golden Horn's keen to get back on track himself. And I'll say we could have a great racing prospect, but we'll see what happens.
Do you think he will get back on track if he runs Golden Horn?
Yeah, I think it's just a combination of circumstances. It's just nothing went right. Pacemaker set a nice pace, but unfortunately, Frankie didn't follow it. He followed Arabian Queen. He was setting very racily fractions. A great ride by Sylvester D'Souza. Kicked at exactly the right time. And nothing just went right. Every horse was about £13-14 below form.
We've got betting on site as well for the Irish Champion Stakes. Golden Horn 7-4 at the top of the market. 9-4 for Free Eagle. Glen Eagle 7-2. 7-1 for the Grey Gatsby. 10s for Arabian Queen, who does need to be supplemented. Cirrus de Zegler is 10s, as is Plishcock. And it's 12-1 or bigger. For the others, if all of those turned up,
it'd be a cracking
race. It'd be
race,
an unbelievable race.
For me, Antipost, for me, we no real idea what's turning up. So I think you need to wait until we see Dex, really, because at the moment it's all very much up in the air.
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks away, the Irish Champion Stakes. It's also 2 weeks until the St. Ledger. Have you got an opinion there at the moment? Aidan O'Brien's got a pretty strong hand.
Yeah, he's got a strong hand. But Storm the Stars, he's been at the big table all year and he keeps performing. And I'll say he did cause a bit of interference at York. I think he was still the best horse. Ultimately, whether it should have been a little bit more action by the stewards, maybe, because Pat Cosgrave didn't seem too concerned about letting him drift across the track and hampering Joseph O'Brien on Bondi Beach. But he's tough, he gets the job done. And we were slightly concerned in the studio. Ken reported he was sweating up. And seeing him on the TV down at the start, I thought perhaps he's gone over top, because, like I say, he has been very, very busy. Real hard season running in some top-level races. But nope, he battled back gamely and looked as good as ever. So ultimately, I think Willie Haggis, yes, Aidan O'Brien's got a very, very strong team. He's probably got the best horse, Willie Haggis, there, and Storm the Stars.
Yeah, that will be my concern. You mentioned you thought he might maybe going over the top a little bit. He's had a hard season, really.
Very, very hard season.
And something like Bondi Beach got so close to him last time. Do you think there's a chance he could just improve past Storm of the Stars now?
Yeah, there's always a chance, especially stepping back up in trip. Bondi Beach is obviously won at that trip. Like I say, we don't know what Aidan O'Brien's running. It's a very small entry, which is disappointing. Mr. Singh, I think John Gosden's, he's had the typical St. Ledger prep as such from John Gosden. He's probably the one to fear, perhaps not shown as much on the form as some of his rivals, but John Gosden knows exactly what he's doing as regards to St. Ledger, and he's probably the interesting one of the other English runners. But like I say, it's a shame to see such a small entry, and hopefully lots stand their ground. Aidan O'Brien runs a fair few, because for a classic, it's never great to see a very small field.
No. Otto of St. George 11-4, 7-2 Storm the Stars, Bondi Beach 5-1, Mr. Singh 11-2, 7-1 for Fields of Athen Rye, and 14-1 in double figure prices for the others if anybody wants to know the betting there. Anything else finally before we move on, James, that you want to mention?
No, there's nothing significant, I'm afraid, from me.
Okay. Well, in that case, let's move on to the significant stuff. Let's look at some racing. James has got four races picked out for us on Sunday, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look ahead to the best of the action on both sides of the Irish Sea. We've got a couple of races from Goodwood and a couple from the Curragh. So we'll start at Goodwood. We'll go through them in time order. The 3:05 at Goodwood is where we start. This is a Class 2 handicap. It's over a mile and a quarter. It's for three-year-olds, seven of them in the lineup here. James, Pajama Party heads the weights. Has never been out of the front three, won two of his last three outings as well. But there are a few less exposed rivals that could be on the upgrade here.
Yeah, definitely. Pajama Party is proven progressive at his own level. He ran an absolutely cracking race when second to a Decorated Knight at Sandown in a very, very competitive contest back in July. He pulled well clear of the third on that occasion, and the handicap has stuck him a fair bit, so had to run off his old mark pretty quickly. It was only nearly a week later at Haydock, and he only just managed to win by a neck, beating Glad Tidings when he was a 6-4 on favourite. Perhaps the race just came a little bit too soon, because ultimately the £8 higher mark today would certainly have seen him get beat a last time out. But he's had 24 days to recover, and Willie Haggis is in excellent form at the moment. And I thought that Sandown race was really, really strong form, and I think he's definitely the one to beat. Of the others, we've got a few unexposed ones in Kiltara, who has had two starts at Chelmsford. Third on debut behind Privilege, then winning Hera Maiden, beating Radharda by a length and a half under Joe Fanning. Lots of the mark of 85 on handicap debut. Maybe a little bit on the hard side. I don't think she's achieved quite as much as some of her rivals, but obviously only having a third start, she is open to plenty of improvement. But she certainly needs to find a little bit for Mark Johnson and Joe Fanning. Starstead appears to be better on new weather. His two successes to date have come at Lingfield in Chelmsford. To be fair, though, both times he's been favourite, he's been big prices when he's run the turf, so it may just be that he's been running in better races on the turf, and that's slightly weak company on the weather has seen him successful. But he's £5 higher than when he got beat at Newbury behind King's Belletti when he only finished fourth. So that's a slight concern for me, whether he's going to be as effective back on turf and whether he's just a synthetic performer. Peter Hoffey, another one likely race for Sir Michael Stout and Willie Bjork. I think that's the main danger to the top weight Pajama Party. He's had two starts this year, finishing third at Newbury ahead of Starstead, and he's waited to reverse the form, or to keep the form, sorry, with Hughie Morrison's runner. And a little bit disappointing, went third at Newmarket last time out, but had 93 days off the track, so it may have been a miss when a beaten 11-8 favourite. He's the one to keep an eye on, but the one I'm going to go for in this trappy Southern Runner three-year-old contest is Pajama Party for Willie Haggis and Pat Cosgrove.
Pajama Party for James then. In the 3:05, moving on to the 4:15 at Goodwood next. This is the Supreme Stakes, a Group 3 over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We'll start here with Ivorwood James, who was an exciting colt as a 2-year-old. They've changed the trip, stepped him up to a mile and 7 furlongs this season. He's placed in a couple of guineas, both the English and the Irish versions. But he struggles to get his head in front now. Is this a chance for him to do so?
Yeah, certainly a big drop in grade. He run some cracking races in the classics, and he third to Glen Eagles in both the English and the Irish 2000 guineas after a little bit of a disappointing return. He was only third in the Greenham at Newbury, but that subsequently looks a lot better from now. But like you say, since he got turned over at 2-1 on at Newmarket in the Middle Park last year, things haven't really gone right. But ultimately, apart from the big disappointment at Ascot in the Jersey Stakes, he's generally been running well and stayed on strongly, only beaten 2.5 lengths by Muhara in the pre-Royce de Geest the other day at Deauville. And he's got a big chance dropping in grade. He's rated 115. And he's certainly the top rated runner in this race, and he was 118 at the back end of his 2-year-old career. So he's the best horse in the race. Like I say, he's got to get back on track and needs to get the confidence back. But I think he's got a good chance. Ground is a concern. Obviously, we need to see what the weather's doing. If it's going to be a dry weekend, it will dry out. But we're recording this the day before, and it's good soft ground at Goodwood. And obviously, they're racing there today, so it's going to get a little bit cut up. And ultimately, they blame the ground when he ran the Middle Park, which is why he got beat. It was pretty soft at Deauville when he didn't run too bad last time out. But for me, that's going to be a concern if you're going to be taking short odds about Ivywood. One that loves the ground is Here Comes When for Jim Crowley and Andrew Bard. And he was disappointing in the Hungerford Stakes last time out, as I did expect him to go much better. He was beaten 3 3/4 lengths by Arday. Handicapper actually dropped into a marker 1-1-3 after earlier looking pretty good when finishing fourth to Solo in the Sussex Stakes, and also not running a bad race in a very, very competitive lock-in when finishing sixth behind Knight of Thunder. So Here Comes When. If he can bounce back, I think he could be the one to take a chance on and beat Ivywood with ground more in his favour than third Richard Allen's runner.
Here Comes One for James then in the Supreme Stakes at Goodwood. Moving over to the Curragh for the next two races. The 4:20 at the Curragh is the Dance Design Filly Stakes. It's a Group 3 over a mile and 1 furlong. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and a good race. There's some nice fillies in there.
Yeah, definitely. One of my favourites is Broach for Dermot World and Pat Smullen. Obviously, her career started off extremely well, winning her first four races, and that culminated in Group 3 and Group 2 success at Goran and Akura. Not quite so good in the last two starts, but to be fair, been running in some really good races. And a disappointing seventh behind Diamonds and Rubies back at Akura over a mile and a quarter before running much better when second to Wedding Vow last time out. She was a 11-4 favourite on that occasion, but interestingly, Dermot World has gone for the blinker, suggesting that he thinks she may just be holding a little bit back for herself, Broach, and that could well be the key to get her back on track. And like I say, it's only really one disappointing run, and that was our first start in Group 1 company, but the blinkers back on, or on for the first time, made us see her eke out a bit of improvement. She has given £12 to her 3-year-old rivals, which is no easy task, but she's a classy filly, and I think she's the one to beat. Devonshire is extremely consistent and deserves to add to our current success back in October. She's run some really, really good races in defeat. A highlight was probably a third in the Irish at 1,000 guineas. Good second last time at Killarney. This is a slight concern. She doesn't seem to get ahead in front very often. Boca Bacchiata was behind Broach when they were both second and third, respectively, behind Wedding Vow. I think it'll be the same again. Outstanding. Very disappointing at York. Just 10 days ago, the fact she's back out again quickly suggests nothing's amiss. But she doesn't look as if she has the class of some of these. Her third in a Group 1 came in America, and perhaps that wasn't as strong as the form. So I think Broach has got another opportunity to get back on the winning trail at Curragh.
Okay, Broach for James. In the Dance Design Filly Stakes, it's a race that Dermot World won last year as well. He's won it a few times, but yeah, won it last year. And he's a trainer that I always think it's significant when he puts the headgear on.
Yeah, you know he puts it on for a reason. It's not just a lucky guess. And you must think she's just holding a little bit back for herself, Broach, despite the fact winning her first four starts. Perhaps she's come a little bit wise, and they want the blinkers on just to produce a slightly better performance, even though she ran a good race from second behind Wedding Vow last time.
Mm. The final race we look at is the 4:50 at the Curragh. This is the Irish Cambridgeshire Premier Handicap over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Just a nice small field of 25 here, James, to sort
out.
Yeah,
you've given me a nice, easy race to end the podcast. I'm going to go for an improving colt owned by Kirsten Rousen and Mrs. Bolger in Algonquin, who was one last four starts and really, really progressive. Well beaten on debut. The Curragh is a 2-year-old, but like I say, won next four starts and stepping up in handicaps, then won a listed race at Killarney, beating Devonshire, who obviously runs in the earlier race. And a mark of 102 isn't surmountable. And I think I'm going to go for the Jim Bolger run, and what's a very, very competitive race. Portage won really well at Ascot last time out. He's had 36 days off the track, and he's interesting for Mickey Halford, Godolphin, and James Doyle going over to ride for the Godolphin operation. And Portage, for me, make the main danger. But in what's a typically competitive Irish Cambridgeshire, I'm going to stick with the improving Jim Bolger, Algonquin for Kirsten Rousen.
Yeah, we do have betting as well on the site. Portage or Portage is the 7-1 market leader. Algonquin is 8-1, 9-1 for, sorry, 10-1 for Hassanor. Stuckadore is 12s, 14s for Have a Nice Day. Hint of a Tint is also 14s with Marshall Jennings, and it's 16s or bigger for the others. So, as we mentioned, a competitive race summed up by it being 7-1 the field.
Yeah, as you'd expect for the Irish version of Cambridgeshire, but a small field compared to the UK version, only 25 compared to Newmarket's 35. So maybe a little easier to find a winner, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe so. Right, let's just have a quick summary, James, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, and a 3 of 5 at Goodwood. We've gone for Pyjama Party for Willie Haggis and Pat Cosgrave. Real good second at Sandown. Perhaps the race came a little bit too soon when slightly below par, despite winning at Haydock last time. Does need to improve under an £8 higher mark, but I think that Sandown form was pretty strong. In the Supreme Stakes, Everwood drops in grade as he bids to get back on track for Richard Hannon, Sean Levy, his new jockey. But soft ground could be a little bit of a concern. See how the ground rides today at Goodwood. But if the ground is on the soft side, Here Comes When, I think, could be the one to benefit. While at the Curragh, we're going to hope Broach gets back on the winning trail in the 420, the Dance Design Filly Stakes. She was a good second behind Wedding Vow, and Dermot Wells stuck blinkers on for the first time, which might just eke out a little bit more improvement. And finally, in the 450, the 25-runner Irish Cambridgeshire, we have gone for Jim Bolger's rapidly improving Algonquin.
Good work. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
And James Millman will be in the studio on Sunday. He's joined by Gordon Brown at Alistair Whitehouse Jones. Goodwood, Beverley and Yarmouth have 3 domestic meetings and some good racing over in the Curragh as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.